All right, and so today, as the Lord leads us and getting deeper into this year, God is revealing more and more things to us as we cement what we would like to see in us as a family of God here at Gospel Central Church. I would like us to begin by reading scriptures, and then we'll dive into what the Lord wants to say for us this morning. And so we begin by reading Matthew chapter 13 from verse 3 to 8. All right? I think it is there. I hope you are using the NIV. Is it possible you change for me to the NIV? I'm the old English guy. I didn't learn English from preschool. Is that NIV? NIV? I can see AV. Okay. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Next. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Okay, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. The last one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. For this reason, and this is Paul writing, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Father, we thank you for this word, and we pray in the name of Jesus that this word will find room in our hearts so that we can be like you, Jesus. We can live like you, Jesus. Spirit of the living God, remind us and keep this word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And so just giving you a little bit of the context here when we look at Matthew. And Matthew is likening the kingdom of God to what? To a farmer that plants seed. And this seed is planted in various places. And so we see from the various places, I think you can remember the passage, from the various places, the seed sprouts into a plant, and that plant either grows or it dies out, depending on the type of the soil and what surrounds it. And so we see also that there is a lot of influence. There are a lot of things that happen that cause this plant to grow or not to grow. And Jesus is giving this parable to the people that were listening to him, those that had gathered at that particular time. And when he is talking about the seed, he's actually referring to the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom. And the soil is actually the heart, where this seed lands. And so, for instance, as I am preaching, I'm sharing the good news of the Lord God, the good news of the kingdom of God. As you are listening, you are like the soil where this word is landing. How that word bears fruit in your life is dependent on many factors. Is that okay? Yeah. So we leave it there, because there's something that I want us to share. So Peter tells us, but grow in the grace. And it sounds here, when Peter is addressing his listeners, when he's written this letter to them, it sounds to me here that he is commanding them, or he is encouraging them to grow in what? In the grace. In the grace, it is in the favor of God, in the things that God is able to do in our lives. How that works still remains a mystery. And he says also in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he is saying grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think these things are going hand in hand together here. And there's a reason why Peter is emphasizing that. Now, grace, we need grace. We need the favor of God. But we also need knowledge. Now, favor is coming from God. Knowledge, you acquire it yourself by applying yourself to it by reading. And the Holy Spirit is not going to read the word of God to you. You have to sit down, decide, resolve to sit down and read that word of God. But God, supernaturally, is going to release his grace upon you so that your understanding, that which you want to know and that which you want to live, by supernatural intervention and provision, you can live it out to the glory and honor of God. And so Peter is saying, do this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. And this is what it says, of course, in here, again, Paul. So we have three characters here. There's Jesus Christ, then there's Peter, there's also Paul. And they are all talking about very similar things. And so Paul here is saying, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So why? Paul is saying, we didn't stop praying for you. He had a pastoral heart. He had an apostolic heart. He loved the church. He loved the work of God. And he continued to pray for these brothers and sisters in that place. So we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so I think this must be something that we must take to heart and think about and ponder. Now, this morning, I want us to discuss a subject. Let us grow together. And I think you are seeing what the texts are actually saying. Let us grow together. And I'm not saying you should grow. I'm not saying I should grow. I would like us to grow. I'm using a collective language, right? You know, communal language. Let us grow together. And there is a reason why I'm saying let us grow together. But the scriptures that we see here seem to address this issue. And sometimes we want to personalize scripture very much. You know, each time I read the scripture, it's me. You know, God has called me. God has not called an individual to do things alone. He has called us into a family. That as a family, we can exhibit the character and nature of God and give him the glory. And Jesus Christ is not going to be married to individuals. He is married to the church, which is a community of believers. And so when we look at growing together, what comes into mind, you know, looking at the seed, looking at whatever Paul said and Peter said in there, I think of a seed. A seed is something that is living, but sometimes we can't see that it is living. I'm not a scientist, but probably I have a little bit knowledge of farming. But when you look at a seed, really you can look at it, you would wonder whether it can bring up life or not. And so, but a seed in itself has got life. But that life will not come out until it is dropped in the soil. And in that soil there must be watering. So this is what is actually happening. But now when we think about growth, this is what I know. Every living thing grows. Can we say that? Every living thing grows. Can we say that together?
Every living thing grows.
It's a good class, isn't it? Now, when a living thing stops to grow, this is what happens. It starts to shrink. Then it dries. Then eventually what happens? It dies. Anything that stops to grow, that's what I know. It will eventually shrink, dry, and die. But for every living thing, for something to begin to live, there must be a starting point. And the starting point, I'm giving all these examples that apply to life so that we can understand the spiritual things that we have today. So, now, the starting point for some is it's a seed. For some, it's an egg and all those things, isn't it? Okay, so we begin somewhere there. And seed will actually germinate and the eggs are fertilized. All right? But we are talking about spiritual things in this case. The word of God is a seed and it germinates in your heart or in our hearts. The environment, there's an environment that is required for this word of God to produce fruit, for it to grow. And somehow, there are many other factors, of course, we may not dictate, but there are certain things that you and me are responsible of for this word of God to grow in our lives and produce what God wants. What is God honoring? What is glorifying? What is helpful for you? What everyone else can actually enjoy? Because ultimately, a plant is not just there to grow and bear nothing, including those plants that don't bear fruit, like fruits that we can go and eat from. Actually, I've come to realize there's a plant, you know, that smells nice like perfume in the night. You know, what do you call it? I think, Queen of the Night. So there's Queen of the Night, there's King of the Night. Which one am I going to get, brothers and sisters? Or whatever you call it, but it's a nice plant and it smells nice in the night. So it has a purpose. You know, there's a purpose why we have to grow. And the purpose, of course, is to bear fruit. Now, let's look at some of the things, the environmental factors that actually affect growth, the things that actually affect growth. Now, here we are moving using the metaphors, the earthly things, and diving into the spiritual realm and seeing. So for us to grow spiritually, just like there are factors that are required, the environmental factors that are required for a plant to grow properly. So there are certain things that we need for you and me to grow spiritually. And the first thing is spiritual growth. Spiritual birth, okay? Spiritual birth. Now, I think we have a lot of challenges in the world today. There are certain people that we look at and they are coming to church and we are meeting together, we work together, they've got very good humor. By the way, there are people who are not believers, but they are good. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. I mean, you look at them, what they do, how they behave, and their skills and all that, they are good. Except they don't have Christ. And because they don't have Christ, that goodness is in vain. But if people without Christ can be good, how much more should we be good? Those of us who have Christ in us. Because we have the grace of God. Now, the understanding when we're talking about spiritual growth, there'll be no growth in any person, spiritual growth, if they are not born again. If they haven't had a spiritual birth. Now, Peter one time was actually preaching, and it starts from here, and we'll dig deeper. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 to 38, he was actually preaching, you know. He told them, these people had gathered on the day of Pentecost, and he explained to them how Jesus Christ was the Messiah and how he was crucified and for what reason he was crucified on the cross. And so everyone, according to the scripture, everyone who listened to this message, it was the first evangelistic message that Peter ever preached. Very effective. And the Bible tells us everyone was cut to the heart. And then they screamed, they shouted, they cried out, "Brother Peter, what can we do in order for us to be saved? What can we do in order for us to change the course of life? What can we do for us to stop the impending death or whatever it is, destruction for us? We want to be on the side of God. We want to be like Christ. We want to be like you, filled with the Holy Spirit. We want also to walk in the supernatural. We want to experience the things that you have experienced." And Peter looked at them with compassion. He must have been filled with compassion. I don't know how he expressed himself, but he must have been filled with compassion. And the Bible says, Peter, brothers, what shall we do? Can you go to the next verse, which is 38, brother? You don't have it. Okay. Peter replied,
Repent
and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Because you need to be forgiven of your sins in order for you to be in the right track with the Lord God. Okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. And when we go further in the verses there, we see what actually happened. That about 3,000 people came to Christ. They believed and they were baptized. And sometimes we just want to skip and go into reading Acts chapter 2 and verse 48, where we see, no, these people were gathered under the apostles' feet and they learned this, they ate bread, and now we take that one wild. And we love to have our own prize, isn't it? We love it. So we go to the fellowship. We want fellowship, and sometimes we forget before that fellowship should happen. There is verse 37, verse 38 in this passage. You're getting what I'm trying to say? And so sometimes people come to church for fellowship, and especially where there's coffee. I'm not hitting at you. But you know, we come for fellowship, and sometimes it's like, my kids, I need kids where they can go, you know, where they have got friends and friends that can speak well and all that. But we are not interested in the things that come before that. Before the fellowship, there is something there. There is verse 37 and verse 38. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you should receive what? The Holy Spirit. Then when you have received the Holy Spirit, you can come and listen to the apostles' teaching. Because now, when we come to verse 47, 46 there, is it 42, sorry, 42, 43, we are talking about things that make the church to grow and individuals to grow in community. Yeah. But we don't rush there before we deal with the issues of the Spirit. Yesterday, as usual, sometimes we have very good moments with my wife. Those good times.
Sometimes.
Yes, sometimes. I know what I'm saying. Huh? Well, she had her own things, and she was reading scripture, and then I don't know what happened, and she came and said, "Just let's talk." So she was asking a few things, and as we were discussing, something dawned on us, and we were very convinced. Very convinced. And this is what we are convinced, that in many cases, even in the church, as we counsel people, as we help people, we start with the physical. We start by giving them solutions from the physical point of view. And we don't begin with the spirit. And so yesterday we felt like we have done this, but look, sometimes we do these things, but without this revelation. And I said, my dear wife, I have prepared the message. And this is the order I have prepared it. But thank you for this revelation. So, this order is not accidental. We must begin with the Spirit. Maybe we need to change how we greet ourselves now. We have to begin. You know, when you greet a person, hi, how are you? Before you tell, you ask them, how is your family? Tell them, how is your life with Christ? How does that feel, man? How is your connection with Jesus Christ? And when they tell us how they are flowing with Jesus Christ, then we go, how is your wife? I mean, we see this. So there will be no growth, there will be no spiritual growth in anyone's life if they have not been born again. You have to be born again in order for you to begin to grow spiritually. Because from spiritual birth, that is where you have your sins forgiven. That is where you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the newness in you, gives you a fresh understanding. You are starting on a new page. And then you begin to discern. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, a man without the Spirit of God cannot understand things of the Spirit. And that is why we have challenges sometimes in our lives, in my life, in your life. And because we begin with the flesh. Have you ever wondered sometimes why some people, it's like every time it's the cycle. You know, it's like a wheel, you know, the wheel of a bicycle. Every time they are going into the same cycle. Today they have changed a little bit, tomorrow, and they are going through. Sometimes we need to ask them, how is your connection with Jesus? There can never be spiritual growth without spiritual birth. And that's why we see Jesus Christ is talking about these things. And we see Peter talking about these things. There is a way they actually begin. In most cases in the church today, I love the word you used. And I'm happy that you didn't use the word that I want to use. There's a word you used about, is it transformation? Yeah, I think I picked it. Yeah?
From information to transformation.
That's great. You know, most of us in the church, we have reformed. We have not been transformed. We are not regenerated. And that is the danger of being in a church where we do not emphasize the Spirit and the Word. And so when you emphasize the Word alone, this is what happens. You are likely to fall into religion.
Yeah. Yes.
And so you are puffed up with knowledge, and this knowledge guides you, and sometimes you can follow the principles, because Scripture is full of those things and examples, and you can follow the principles and do this and wake up in the morning. All the religious things, you can do them. And from outside, you look nice. And sometimes you even pat yourself on your shoulder and say, I am doing it. Because you are ticking. You think about giving, I do give. You know, I owe my tithe every month. Or I am the one that actually helps a lot. And all that. You are ticking. I mean, those are good things. And of course, God is not saying you shouldn't do those things. There are many people who are reformed. But their hearts remain the same. Step their toes and hear what comes out of their mouths.
That's good.
Maybe we should test our friend ourselves there. Just get a cup of coffee and just throw it and splashes on those white creamy shirts and that's beautiful. So the first thing you need to have, the environment, the first thing is spiritual birth. The second thing is there must be a desire to grow. Okay? There must be a desire to grow. But that desire to grow will not be there if you are not regenerated. Where will it come from? It will not be there. The third thing is crave for spiritual milk. Okay, so the first thing is you have to be born spiritually. Second thing is desire to grow. But that desire will not come unless you are born. Hey, how can a baby desire to grow or whatever? It's not born. If you are still a seed, some of us maybe are still carrying seeds. Let them germinate. Crave for spiritual milk. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, like newborn babies, crave for pure milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Do we have that scripture? Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We sang that song, isn't it? There was a line talking about that. So the other thing that you need, the environment that will bring spiritual growth, is the craving for spiritual milk. Some of us, I don't know when we have ever craved to read the Word of God. We have ever craved the things of God. And this poor Peter is encouraging us, we must. Another environmental factor that will help you to grow, it is the right posture. The posture of humility. Some of us are puffed up. Now, I know of many, many women and men that are so puffed up religiously that they don't want to hear anything from another person. They know it all. Hey, you know, I've been serving. I've been a believer for 17 years. 35, and they emphasize 35. And imagine how it feels you are 27. And the guy is saying, I've been a believer for 35. Indirectly saying, what can you tell me? And so he doesn't want to listen. The posture will help you to grow. A posture of humility. Where you don't think you know it all. Where you don't think that you have a right. Where you leave yourself open to correction, to being led, and to lead humbly and nicely, not with, I am. The Bible says, the Lord does what? Resists the proud, and he lifts the humble. Be careful. But apart from the right posture, of course, we have the last one. It's a healthy family. Now, I don't know about you. You know, there are people who say, peer pressure can change things. We can make experiments. I wish in church we were allowed to make experiments like scientists. We could have had a control experiment, the experiment itself, and the what? And we could have done that. Put a child filled with the Holy Spirit, surrounded with big people, big-headed, and with all these emphases of religion and the like, before you know it, their spiritual favor is extinguished. Maybe that's the right word I was looking for. Have you ever been in a situation where you began, and those of you who have gone to schools and universities, however it is, you know, you started very well, and when you were here, you were in secondary school, very humble girl, very humble boy, and everything is okay, and you go to the university, and you find these lecturers who are twisted hair, and twisted braids, and whatever, you know, they walk in a certain way, and they talk this language they use, and you look at them, and they drive these cars, and it's like, this is the way I want to speak. I want to be like that professor. And these are the guys. This one comes in, he tells you this concept. This one comes in, and then you get puffed up and begin to enjoy knowledge and all that. And now you go into the business of knowledge. But you are out of that. You come outside. You find these guys that are all talking about car money. You know, the latest iPhone and all that. And you think, okay. And they talk about parties. Before long, young lady, young man, You begin to think Christianity is old-fashioned. It's very boring. Why? Because of the environment in which you are. And Jesus Christ is saying, some seed fell in this kind of soil, and as the plant was growing, it was choked by the thorns of this world, the worries, the riches, and all these things. If you have never worried, you are a very good person. Thank you very much. And I know many people here, 99.9% don't worry, but I worry. And some of us have worried. We worry about where we are going to go. So many things. And Jesus is looking at you and saying, you, do you think by worrying you can change your life or you can add anything to your life? Give it up to me. Amen. And so, we need to know that a good family is very important for you. This is why, when you are born again, you don't need to be alone there. And just, no, me, I'm born again. I know Jesus Christ. I'll be reading my Bible in the house. Who is going to influence your life? For how long are you going to read the Bible? You need a family. Because God created us to grow together as a family. And make sure that the family you join, you know, when you go, if you don't find Gospel Central Church, where you go, I want to believe that Gospel Central Church is a very healthy family. Now, it's not perfect, but it's a very healthy family. So just in case you leave and you go to, I don't know whether Shangombo has got a university there, or Miombe, or Nchelenge has got a university. But wherever you go, look for a church. You can even consult the elders and say, look, I have left. I want to be in a family. Because family of God is very important. I want to be in the family. Which one can I go to? And if you are speaking to us and you're speaking to me, I'll sit down and go through my encyclopedia of the churches in Zambia. And then I'll begin to think, okay, is this church there? Is this church there? Is this church there? Is this church there? This one is closer. This one is, okay. In the meantime, there's no Gospel Central Church, but you can't be alone. I'll never advise you. Join that one. But if you hear something crazy, please consult me or consult us. Family. Because your family will affect your spiritual growth.
Amen.
So how you choose the family you belong to is very important. And you need to look at basic things, some of which are found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, going down to verse 47. And they did this, they did this. May the Lord bless you. And so all these things, all these five factors are very important for your spiritual growth. And I don't know where you are at. But ultimately, out of all these things, God wants us to grow together. And I will emphasize some of these things. God didn't raise us to be lone rangers. Now, I don't know whether you have watched this movie before, if you were born before 70. But if you are also brought in 1980, you are still breathing, at least a boy or a teenager. Maybe you heard of something like this. If you haven't heard anything, and you don't know what a lone ranger is, please ask your guardian. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says, instead speaking the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part grows, as each part does its work. So everyone, God desires that we can grow together. Us together. These environmental factors that include family are important because God wants us to grow together. If you have a spirit of rebellion, of anti-church congregation and meeting, or, you know, there are also people who have a spirit of looking for a perfect church when they are not perfect. That's also another spirit. So there's a spirit of antisocial church. There's a spirit of looking for a perfect church. You are not perfect. It will only be in heaven. Look for a health church. God wants us to grow together. Because he called us into his body, into a community, not into isolation. Not just a community, a health community that honors God. For there is only one seed, one body, one baptism, one spirit, and one Father, our God eternal. Even the creator of heaven and earth, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow together. But what is the goal of all these things in the divine orchestration of God? What is the goal? The goal is that we may all bear fruit in the community, but this fruit must be seen out there into the world. These are children of God. And Jesus Christ said some of these things to the disciples and says, if you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. And you know that knowing is not just having the knowledge. It's that they can know and be attracted to you. Sometimes people are not attracted to us because some of us speak more of our conflicts in our family than we speak of the good things that we do together. And some of us misrepresent Jesus Christ and misrepresent the values that we stand for as a church. God wants us to bear fruit, produce the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians, but also walk like Jesus did. That is the ultimate goal of all these things, the growing together. And my prayer is that the Lord will rekindle in us the desire to grow. But just in case you are saying, look, you have mentioned something. If I'm not born again, I can't grow. Yes, that's true. I will not retract that statement. If you don't remember any day, any hour, any moment in your life when the gospel was preached to you, and you reflected in your life and you realized you need a savior, and from that reflection, you remember one day saying, I surrender to Jesus and prayed to repent of your sins. Mm-hmm. Not just the prayers that you recite and say after me. You yourself out of the conviction. And you said, Christ, come. I surrender. Oh, if you don't remember that moment, put a question mark. Spiritual growth may not be real for you. You need to be born again. And for some of us, we started well. Yes, it was okay. And all that. But because of our waywardness, and we love the things of this world, and we are somehow sliding, and things are not moving too well. Every time we are in this cycle of this, we are bound to this, and we are not walking in victory. It could be this is the right moment to say, where am I? And call for help. Plug in into the church family if you have it. Seek for prayers, but also give up those things that easily entangle you and lead you to sin. Yeah. Jesus will not come and remove them out of your way. You will have to make a decision. And this is what I believe. At the point of obedience, that's where your miracle lies. That's where the supernatural intervention comes. Until you do that, there are many of us say, why are things not happening? Why are things not happening? What have you done with his word? What step have you ever made? And Jesus is just looking at you and saying, I'm here. I've told you I'm great, I'm powerful. I can do all these things. There's nothing that is impossible with me. I move mountains. Everything belongs to me. Look at this, look at that. And he says, come to me. And you're just seated there. I need a miracle. He's saying, come. Mm-hmm. And when Peter wondered, Jesus said, come. You know when the miracle happened? When he stepped out. When did they receive the Holy Spirit? When they repented and believed. They said, we are sinners. When did the woman receive the healing? When she believed and touched. Who kicked her back to go and touch the garment of Jesus Christ? No one. This is the time. May the Spirit of God just remind us and move in our hearts and stir in us the desire for the Spirit and the desire to grow. And to grow not as individuals, but to grow together as a family of God. And I want us to learn and leave you these questions before I ask Brother Gordon to come. I want us to ask ourselves these questions. Am I exhibiting spiritual growth? If not, why? Why? Why am I always falling into these sins? Every time this is the thing, why? Could it be one of the things we have mentioned? The next question is, am I born of the Spirit or am I just reformed and religious? One of the most difficult people to lead in the church are just reformed and religious people. Without the Spirit, you have battles. Because you are seeing things this way, they see them in the flesh. Are you moving in the Spirit? The last question. What adjustments do I need to make in order to grow spiritually? Thank you very much for listening. God bless you.